What kind of plane you going to buy after the war, Ed?
I've been thinking about a two-seater.
Why? I'm getting a four-seater. Then I can take my whole family for a ride.
Well, that's just why I'm getting a two-seater. I don't want to be bothered by in-laws. Say, when do you think we'll get delivery?
Why, the day after Armistice.
That soon?
Well, that's what everybody's been telling us.
The National Broadcasting Company presents The National Hour. This is a mirror of public opinion, reflecting what America and the world are thinking, planning, doing. This is today's interpretation of the problems and newsworthy milestones that we must reach and pass on the road to peace and reconstruction. Today, August 18th, 1946, we present the 40th in the distinguished NBC series, The National Hour. Our subject for today,
a plane in every garage.
This is Robert St. John in Air-Minded New York. During the latter days of World War II and immediately afterward, aviation enthusiasts assured us that the air age had already come. The ink wouldn't be dry in the armistice, they said, before planes would be rolling off the assembly line. So they prophesied. Flying instruction would be simple and cheap. Everybody would be flying to Aunt Hetty's for the weekend in a few minutes instead of half a day. Now, 1 year later, what has happened to these hopes and these prospects of aviation for the average man? Later in the program, we'll take you to Eldon, Missouri, and Los Angeles, California, to show you some surprising and unexpected developments in private flying.
This is Robert McCormick in Washington, the National Aviation Center. If you want to learn to fly, do you know how to go about it? Do you know how much private flying costs? Do you know how to buy an airplane? And if you had an airplane, do you know what you would do with it or where you would go with it? Well, to help us answer these questions, we have with us here Mr. Joseph Geiting, the manager of the Personal Aircraft Council of the Aircraft Industries Association. We are standing by.
How good are your chances of taking to the air? Well, for most of us, the truth is, the private plane today is in exactly the same position as the automobile was in back in 1926.
Oh, now what?
There's no sign around, dear. Another detour?
Another dead end, you mean? Where are we anyway?
Well, let's look at the road map. We should be about here.
Oh.
Let's see now. We ought to be 5 miles past the White Church at Houstonville. Or was that a red church we passed?
Why don't you ask this farmer?
I will, dear, I will.
Hello there. I'd like to get some information. We're lost.
Oh, where are you going?
California.
You've got a long way to go, mister.
We're trying to get to Brownsville tonight.
Never make it.
We came from Houstonville and we were supposed to turn off at the White Church.
There ain't no White Church there anymore. Used to be, but it got struck by lightning. You ought to be going in the opposite direction. Only you can't, because the flood's washed out the bridge. You'll have to go around through Greene County.
I see.
Hardly pay you, though. That road ain't been fixed since the big oak fell on it. Fella told me the other day he couldn't get his bicycle through it walking. Don't know exactly how to advise you, mister.
Oh, come on. We're not getting anywhere here.
All right, dear. Thank you very much.
Of course, you could try the big bike at the west end of Houstonville. Nobody's been down it for about a month now.
Now, I'll give you a little direction.
Yes, dear.
When we get to the White Church in Houstonville that's no longer there, we'll turn left and go home. Driving's fine in the city, but for the country, give me a horse and buggy every time.
Yes, dear.
Do you remember the good old days when an automobile cost around $3,000? The automobile as a form of transportation had arrived all right, but the man in the street was literally that. He couldn't afford anything but Well, a Model T if you were lucky. Today, the average man planning to buy a private plane finds the same obstacles in the way of cost and the lack of aerial highways. Let's take an actual case of an average man in his middle 30s.
My name is Hugh Wright. I'm a furniture dealer in Eldon, Missouri, where I live with my wife, Mary Lou, and 14-year-old son, Britt. One Sunday afternoon in June of this year, we were sitting in our house, which is on the end of the new air park in Eldon, reading the papers.
You aren't listening to a thing I've been saying, Hugh.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mary Lou. I was watching that new Piper Cub take off. What did you say?
Well, I was just reading about the air park dedication. It's in all the Kansas City and St. Louis papers.
Gee, Dad, why can't we have a plane?
Oh, now, don't start that, Britt. You know, we haven't got the money to spend on an airplane.
You know, Mary Lou, I've been thinking. Sure would be a lot of fun to have our own plane.
Oh. Gosh, you mean it?
Well, it's a little silly to live right by this air park and not take advantage of it. Besides, you could go shop in St. Louis or Kansas City. I could fly to Chicago to buy furniture for the store.
Yeah, and in 3 years I could get a license.
And may I ask where all this money's coming from?
Well, I figured out a way we could do it.
Oh, but you're 37 years old.
Oh, 1 foot in the grave, I suppose.
Well, I mean, well, during the war, kids were flying. But men were old for flying at 30.
Yeah, but those were military planes. Anybody can fly one of these small jobs.
Oh, it's not like buying an automobile, Hugh.
No, it's better. You can go farther, quicker, and besides, think how much fun it would be.
All right, Hugh. But we get the plane on one condition. Not going to be like when we got the automobile. This time, you're not going to be the only member of the family who knows how to fly. I'm going to learn, too.
I hope I'm not interrupting you, Caraway.
Oh, come in, Hugh. I was glad to see you at the dedication.
Certainly was a swell show.
Thanks. We're not doing so bad, are we, for a town of 2,500 people with our own flying facilities? Missouri's going to be the talk of the nation.
I think you're right. Say, Caraway, Well, maybe you'll think this is kind of silly, but...
Well, go ahead.
You might think this is a little ridiculous, but... I was talking it over with the family, and we want to learn to fly.
Well...
All right, if you're going to laugh at me.
Now, wait a minute. I've just been wondering how long it'd be before you gave in. That's why I was laughing.
Oh. Well, how do I go about it?
Well, besides being manager of the air park, I'm an instructor, too. I'll take you on as a pupil myself, Hugh.
Well, that's swell, and let's get started. You mean now?
Sure. Nothing to it once you're in the air. Look, you just do as I say and you'll see how simple it is. Remember about the stick. You don't use it like an automobile steering wheel. Just a light tap and she'll respond just as easy.
Now? Am I flying it now?
Sure you are. Try banking it to the left. Just remember what I told you. There. That's it. How do you feel?
Wonderful. Like floating on air.
That's what you're doing.
Why doesn't somebody tell me these things? Where have I been all my life? Flying had got into my blood. Nobody could be more enthused about the idea than I was. But Mary Lou insisted on getting a few figures about what it was going to cost us. One day after my first solo...
Congratulations, Hugh. You're doing fine.
Well, thanks, Caraway. Well, that first solo really takes it out of you, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, you're doing all right, Hugh. Stop looking so worried.
Well, you know, Mary Lou and I were just figuring out expenses on this. My flying lessons are costing me $8 an hour for my first 18. After that, it goes up, doesn't it?
Yes, Hugh. It goes up $2 more an hour for your next 17.
Now, wait a minute. I want to add this up. That's... 244.17. That's $314 overall instruction cost.
That's about it. Don't you think it's worth it?
Oh, sure, sure. But we just have to budget ahead. Another thing I want to figure out. After I buy my plane, how much is it going to cost us to keep it up?
Well, let's see.
How many hours a year would you probably fly?
Gosh, I don't know.
Well, let's figure on a basis of 100 hours. Your regular operating course would average you about $177 a year.
Yeah, what would it cost for me to park it here at the hangar?
That averages about $180.
And what else? I guess it's like a car. You have to figure depreciation.
Well, that'd run you about $200, we figure. And, of course, you have insurance on the plane at $310, and you got to take out liability and property damage, which is about $148.
And let's see. Figuring 310, 218... Figuring that all up, the total first-year cost runs a little over $1,300. Is that right?
Yeah.
If I can get a plane for $2,000. Gee, this upkeep is really something, isn't it?
Well, you're lucky you don't live in a big city. Prices there are up 10 to 20% of these figures. You're not getting cold feet, are you?
No. We've got to watch the cost of our plane. Mary Lou and I are going to Kansas City this afternoon to look at the new models. We'll have to keep an eye on her pocketbook, I guess.
North America's putting out a brand new private plane, Mr. Wright. It's called the Navion. Here's a picture of it.
It's a beauty, all right.
Now, as you see, it has four seats and has a speed of 150 miles per hour.
Bendix has a new model. They haven't named it yet. It'll be out in a few months. Now, here's Republic's amphibian for private owners.
This one by Beechcraft. It's called the Bonanza, and it's exactly that. It has four places and goes 175 miles per hour.
What do you think, Mary Lou?
Well, I think a two-seater is more our price range and all we need. What's this plane?
Why, that's the Swift.
Oh, I like that one.
So do I. How do we finance it?
Just about the way you'd buy a new car. The usual financing plan, including accident insurance, is one-third down and 1 year to pay.
Okay, we're sold. Now, when do we get delivery?
That, sir, is the $64 question.
It is indeed a $64 question, and nobody knows the answer better than Mr. Joseph Guiting, the manager of the Personal Aircraft Council of the Aircraft Industries Association. Mr. Guiting, what is the outlook on personal plane production?
Personal planes, like automobiles, Mr. McCormick, have suffered from serious shortages of material, but the picture is beginning to look a little brighter.
Well, in the case of the average man ordering a plane today, how long will he have to wait?
All of the industry is working against a very substantial backlog of orders, more than 50,000, as a matter of fact. We are now producing at the rate of more than 40,000 planes a year. However, it is quite probable that delivery of an order placed today could be expected within 3 to 6 months under present conditions. Just as in the case of the automobile, most of these planes are quite similar to those produced before the war. It must necessarily be some time before entirely new designs can go through the extensive testing to which they are subjected and finally reach the public market.
Well, what's the average price of these new planes?
For a two-seater, the average price is about $2,500, with a four-place plane somewhat higher.
Well, that's pretty expensive, isn't it?
The question is, how much is your time worth? For example, farmers have found that planes save so much time that they are actually profitable in their daily activity. And in the same sense, businessmen are more and more coming to realize that the convenience and time-saving qualities of travel in their own aircraft more than repays them for the cost involved.
Well, how does the helicopter fit into the picture?
Manufacturers will frankly admit that as of today, it is highly impractical for the average citizen to think of owning one for his personal use, because of their present high cost and the extreme technical ability required to fly them. However, they have immediate commercial use, such as, for example, airmail shuttle operations and other industrial uses. But their development is proceeding at a rapid pace, and it would be difficult to predict how long it will be before the helicopter will find its place in the normal flying life of the country.
Well, then, confining ourselves to personal planes as we know them now, is there any chance of the prices coming down very soon?
When we get mass production on planes, yes. But it will take a completely air-minded America to do this. I think we should bear in mind the fact that the use of personal planes by the general public is fundamental to the creation of a real national air power tradition, similar in importance to the British tradition of sea power. Personal flying, after all, is the individual's most direct contact with aviation. Most important of all, to achieve this, there must be air parks, as well as air harbors for amphibious and seaplanes, constituting a nationwide system of servicing and refueling points.
Well, what is the situation on our aerial highways through the country?
Those of us in the aircraft industry have been encouraged by something that has been happening out in the Middle West. A group of people in Eldon, Missouri, realized this need for proper air facilities for personal flying, and they did something about it.
They certainly did. We've already heard a little about their accomplishments, but now to get a closer look at what the air-conscious Missourians have done, to hear from some of the men behind the idea, let's go directly to this wonder town of Eldon.
This is Frank Eschen of Station KSD in St. Louis, speaking to you from the air park at Eldon, Missouri. In this heart of the Ozark Mountains, the people of Eldon have built a beautifully landscaped park and green-sodded landing area for private airplanes. From one of the two turf landing strips, I can see the administration service building, the aircraft and automobile parking facilities, and the large area reserved for exhibits to be used by aviation manufacturers. The town of Eldon has certainly performed an aviation miracle in this model air park dedicated June 8th of this year. And it's no wonder that Hugh Wright got interested in flying just living near it. You've heard his story up to now. Here he is in person. Mr. Wright, how many hours have you had in the air by this time?
Well, I've just finished my ninth hour, and I've had two solos.
You're still sold on private flying, huh?
More than ever.
And I understand that you're the new president of the local aero club here.
That's right. The club has only been in existence for a year, but we have 86 members already. Of course, you couldn't ask for better facilities than we have for private flying here.
Well, you know, it's kind of hard to believe that a town of fewer than 3,000 people could accomplish all this.
Well, we have had, and we're mighty proud of our air park, Mr. Eschen.
Well, hello there, Mr. Reed. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like for you to meet the mayor of the town, who is one of the men who made this fine air park possible.
Hello, Bob. Well, so long, fellas. I think I'll take a little hop.
Take it easy, June.
Say, Mr. Wright, before you take off, I see Harold Carraway, the manager of the air park here, has your plane all warmed up out there. What kind of a ship is that?
That's an all-metal Luscombe.
Uh-huh. Well, happy landings and have a nice flight. Thanks very much for helping us here, will you? Mr. Mayor, you are actually one of the men who made this town, this air park possible, aren't you?
Actually, the whole town made it possible because we're air-minded.
Well, there they go. He's taxiing on down the other end of the strip. How much did the air park cost here, Mr. Mayor?
$25,000, which is certainly within the reach of any town of comparable size.
Well, I think I should mention, too, for our audience, that any real flyer would certainly appreciate the fact that you're so near to the center of the town of Eldon.
We planned it that way. At most airports, as you know, it takes as long to get from the airport to the center of the city as it does to make the trip by air from wherever you started from.
Well, this is certainly a fine example of good American initiative.
Well, the project is making sense and speaks for itself. Any town in America can do it without federal funds, even though this will be soon available to communities under certain conditions. But we feel proud that we did it on our own.
Eldon may well be proud, Mayor Reed, and we sincerely hope that this great idea will spread. We return you now to the National Hour in New York City.
There's no question now about the intensity of Eldon's interest in America on wings. But just how interested is the rest of America in private flying? In the past month, an important national aviation survey disclosed the following facts.
Do you think instruction should be provided at public expense so that large numbers of young people can learn to become licensed airplane pilots?
54.5% answered.
No. Pilot instruction should be at individual expense.
When private planes are available in large quantity, would you like to own one?
One-third of the country answered.
Yes.
Women, too.
Are you definitely planning to buy a plane?
7% answered yes.
When?
The majority answered
in a year or less.
In 2 years or less.
We'll be able to afford one within the next 5 years, I reckon.
Do you want a plane having four seats or two?
Most of the country answered
4 places for my family or friends.
How fast do you want to go?
120 to 150 miles per hour.
What cruising range? In other words, how far do you want to go without refueling?
Up to 500 miles.
What do you want inside a plane?
Radio equipment, radar, automatic pilot, heater, or air conditioning.
All of these features are, incidentally, very high cost.
How much do you want to pay?
I'd pay between $2,000 and $3,000.
I wouldn't go any higher than $1,500.
Well, I might afford $10,000, provided it was a very special job.
Do you know the cost to maintain and operate a plane?
No.
I'm not sure. It can't cost much, though, after you learn to fly and buy your own plane, can it?
Well, you've got to keep it in a hangar.
I guess you've got to have insurance on it.
What about landing fees? I understand you just don't land free some places. I heard LaGuardia Field charges $5 just to come down.
According to the survey, a large proportion of America wants to fly, but
the average person has little knowledge of the cost, maintenance, or operation of various types of planes.
The record shows that private planes change owners frequently.
People used to buy planes first and find out afterwards how much it costs to keep them flying.
It is important to know your air facts before you buy. Otherwise, you'll find your bank account automatically grounds you and your plane.
The survey also disclosed that more and more Americans are considering the advantages of private flying. Take, for example, the case of the farmer.
Well, Dad, have I proven a point? Are you sold yet?
Never saw anything like it.
Why, we've got the whole farm sprayed with that bug killer in less than 2 hours. Remember how long it used to take us?
Yeah. By the time we used to get around to the last acre, there was nothing to spray. The bugs have gotten there ahead of us.
Now, I'm a businessman, and I'm sold on private flying, too. Why, I can make a short trip in 1/5 the time it would take me to go by car or train. Of course, it's not quite as simple as it sounds. Matter of fact, only last week I had a dickens of a time. I was coming down at an airport. Hey, I'd like to get my plane checked.
Well, you'll have to check it yourself, I guess.
You mean there's nobody around the airport that can take care of me?
Well, I just mowed the lawn.
Oh, well, at least tell me where I can get some gas, huh?
Well, I guess you get it out of that gasoline drum over there. You'll have to pump it out yourself.
You mean in an airport as big as this, there's nobody around to service a private plane when it comes in?
Well, I guess they don't get many small planes in here. It's just a refueling spot for the airlines. Excuse me.
Yes, that's the situation in many towns around America today. No big gasoline stations available, as there are for automobiles. And if the private flyer is not to become as discouraged as our automobile driver of 1926 was, these refueling spots must be built. Even so, the situation at present is by no means gloomy. Lots of people right this very minute are out enjoying themselves in their own private airplanes. Either that or else they're planning a pleasure junket. I know of a group of men who are doing that very thing, planning a private flying junket. They're out in Los Angeles. Well, wait a minute. Let's drop in on them.
Okay, man. We'll take over the wigwam near Phoenix for next weekend. Crockett, have you made the necessary arrangements?
Yes, I have, Frank. We move in Saturday at noon. Facilities are all arranged at the airport. Our club will have the entire hotel. Arrangements have been made for horseback riding, swimming, golf, and tennis.
That sounds fine. We'll all leave from the various airports here in Los Angeles early enough Saturday morning to get up there in time for lunch. Meeting adjourned. Anybody with any further questions can call our secretary, Charlie Crockett, at his home.
Just a minute, Mr. Belcher. We'd like to know a little more about this fascinating idea of yours.
All right, Doug Gurley.
What exactly is the Aviation Country Club of California?
In 1934 or 35, a group of us out here who had private planes and didn't know where to go or what to do decided we'd form a club to solve that question.
Where are your headquarters?
Anywhere we happen to want to meet. We have no official office and no official phone. We circulate information through our secretary, whoever he happens to be, at his own home.
How many in the club?
There are 250 and new applications coming in all the time.
Sounds like a great idea.
It's an idea that any group of people can easily adopt. Just enough dues to cover mailing. We have a charge of approximately $12 per member for a weekend.
And what do you do on weekends?
We go anywhere the club decides to go. That is, anywhere we can find a hotel, a resort, a harbor, a lodge, or any other interesting recreational point, and wherever they have a nearby landing strip. Then we take it over for Saturday and Sunday.
Who are some of your members?
Well, to name a few, Jerry Fairbanks of Paramount Pictures, Charlie Carell, the Andy of Amos and Andy, Henry King, the movie director, Wally Beery.
That sounds like a who's who of Hollywood. And your club must be the ideal way of getting the most fun out of private flying.
It is.
Thank you very much, Mr. Belcher. This is Doug Gourlay returning you to the National Hour in New York.
A plane in every garage has been the subject of our documentary. And this is what we learned.
That private flying can revolutionize the life of the average American. But there will not be a plane in every garage until there is mass production in small aircraft and until there is coast-to-coast an aerial highway system. That the private plane has yet to come to Main Street, but its future does depend on the Main Streets of America.
On the subject of private flying, then, our documentary is closed.
But this is Robert St. John inviting you to listen to the National Hour again next Sunday when our subject will be oil. Oil, our deepest frontier.
Has been the National Hour. From our studios in New York and Washington, from Eldon Air Park in Missouri, and from the Aviation Club of California in Los Angeles, the National Broadcasting Company has presented the 40th in this series on current national problems and affairs. Guests on the program were Joseph Guiting of Aircraft Industries Association, Mayor Robert Reed and Hugh Wright of Eldon, Missouri, and Frank B. Belcher and C.C. Crockett of Los Angeles, California. Robert St. John was your narrator, with Robert McCormick reporting from Washington. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.